Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, it's such a gorgeous Sunday morning. We're glad to be here to worship you. Wasn't but a week ago, Lord, we were here to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the good news is, a week later, he's just as alive today as he was last Sunday. And we thank you for that. Father, we want to lift up Wade and Casey Rainey right now in their ministry in the Dominican Republic. Thank you for what they're doing. Lord, we pray for your blessings to be on them. Give them your the courage, the strength, the guidance, Father. We unload our prayers to you for them and lift them up, Lord. Just bless what they're doing. We pray for Mike and Donna while their family and the grandkids are there. Pray for your support, Lord. Just envelop them in your arms and wrap them up close to you, Lord, that they'll feel your support, feel the love that you have for what they're doing in that country. Father, we pray for Cal this morning as he comes to bring your message through his words. We pray for Billy as he's going to teach us about Mark. Give us the ability to hear and to understand what you would have us to learn this morning. Lord, we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
God judges his church not by seating capacity, but by sending capacity. Let me say that again. God judges his church not by how many people we put in the seats, but how many people we send out there. So I thought it was important for us to hear about the ministry that's going on in the Dominican Republic. I hope that blessed y'all. Thank the worship team for understanding and giving us some time to share that today. And Mike and Donna, I just amen what Dick said. We will continue to pray for y'all. Anyways, we're in John chapter 21. John chapter 21. Y'all better listen up fast again. I wasn't going to share this, but I'm going to go ahead and do that. I put this on Facebook this week, but Pastor Larry Robertson is one of my great friends, and he's such a man of truth. And several years ago, even before I moved back to Clarksville, he said, "Preacher," this was a Facebook post, "Preacher, you're not as good as as the numbers are on Easter Sunday." And I thought, "Wow, okay." And he said, "But you're not as bad as the numbers are the Sunday after Easter." All right, so. Praise the Lord. You know, it's about, you want to know why you're here this morning? Because God brought you here. It's all up to Him. So if you're in John chapter 21, we're going to continue in our Easter Essential Sermon Series. And for time's sake, I'll just move through this passage as we're preaching this morning. But I'm going to give three more messages, Lord willing, on Easter Essentials. This morning was the third appearance after the resurrection to the disciples that Jesus made. And then there was next Sunday I'll be talking about the ascension when the Lord's disciples were all gathered there and he went back home. And then Mother's Day after that, then the last sermon in this sermon series will be on the King in all his glory from Psalm 24. So looking forward to that. But I do say this. There were 40 days in between the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the time he went back to heaven. 40 days. And during that time, Jesus was appearing to his disciples. He would visit with them. And then he would disappear. And then he would reappear. And I think primarily, you think about the disciples, they didn't know when he was going to show up. And so they had to be ready. They had to be. Isn't that a good word for us today? We don't know when he's coming. It could be today. It could be tomorrow. You may be going today. Hello? We need to be ready to see Jesus. And so that's kind of the background for this. And every time Jesus did show up and appeared to his disciples, he's doing it with a purpose in mind. He is preparing them for the coming of the Holy Spirit and their future ministries. And so Jesus, in these appearances, are getting his disciples, his followers, ready and prepared to take his mission, his ministry, and his message to the nations. Wow. That's what we're still doing today, 2,000 years later. So let's look at John chapter 21. There's just four quick truths applicational truths I want to give to you. If you're following Christ this morning, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to stick together. This side over here didn't quite get that. We need to stick together as the body of Christ. Y'all with me so far? Look at verse 1 and 2. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples of the Sea of Tiberias. And in this way, he showed himself. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. And so Jesus had told his disciples to go to Galilee. He said, I'll see you there. And so there, 7 out of the 11 are there on the shores of the Sea of Galilee waiting on the appearance of the Lord. And you know, now the disciples are not all scattered. They're not meeting in fear. They're together. They're presenting a united front to the world. Why? Why are they now together? I'll tell you why. Because they knew Jesus was alive. They knew that he was alive forevermore, never going to die again. And so, having said that, you've got Simon Peter, you've got Nathanael, you got Thomas, you got James and John, the sons of thunder. Isn't that a great nickname? Thunder and lightning, boy. And then probably Andrew and Philip, two other fishermen, they're there waiting on the Lord. And they're all together. And can I just say this quickly to you? It is imperative that we stay together. You know what the devil wants to do? He wants to divide us. And he'll use some stupid something or other to divide a church. He'll use something that has no eternal value, nothing eternal, to divide and conquer the Lord's church. And so we got to stay together. And you know what? When a lost and dying world sees us moving through days of hardship together, when they see us loving on one another, when they see us doing ministry together, when they see us of one accord and of one mindset, when they see us like that, you know what? That church down the street's got something we need. That's what's going on here. The disciples are together. And then secondly, this second truth, look at verse 3. Simon Peter said to them, watch this, I'm going fishing. Now remember, they're there on the shores of the Sea of Galilee. Jesus had told him to go to Galilee, wait for me there. And so Simon Peter gets impatient like most of us guys do, right? Am I the only impatient person in the room today? Probably, yeah. But he says, I'm tired of waiting. I'm going fishing. And what we need to understand is that if you're a believer, if you're a follower of Christ, you don't serve Christ in the flesh. You serve him in the Spirit. You're led by the Spirit. You walk in the Spirit. You serve in the Spirit of God. Now, Simon Peter decides, I'm going fishing. And the other six say, we're going with you. We're going with you. And they go out fishing. They're there on the sea in the evening. And so they spend all night out fishing. And how many fish do they catch? Zero. Trained fishermen. They're coming in early at dawn. And they don't have a single fish in the boat. You know what Jesus said in John 15:5? Without me, you can do nothing. Here's the spiritual truth. Here's the principle you need to lock down on. Whenever you're trying to accomplish spiritual things, you'd better make sure that you've heard first from the Lord before you go to work. Amen. Folks, that's a fantastic truth. Wrap your mind around that, because I know there are some of you in here today and you're doing good things, but you're doing them in your own power and in your own strength and your own wisdom, and that is a recipe for disaster. Amen. You got to wait on God and hear from Him. And by the way, God's got a better plan than you do. He's got a better purpose than I do. God knows what He's doing. Whew. And so we serve. When you hear from Him, whenever the Word of God tells you, gives you a command, that's a no-brainer. Oh, that's what I'm supposed to be doing. And then you go do it. And by the way, whatever God tells you to do, He's going to give you the resources to get done what He wants done. How are you going to beat a deal like that? Whew. And so they go fishing, and they hadn't caught anything all night long. And let me say this one more time. Now, some of us get in the habit of waiting and sitting and soaking and souring. But when you hear from God, it's time to get up and go to do what He wants done. I mean, the Christian life isn't anything hard to figure out. You remember what Mary told the disciples at the wedding at the Cana of Galilee? She said, just do what my son tells you to do. And whatever he tells you to do, hey, you're going to be a success. Amen. You're not going to be a failure. Praise God. Here's the third thing, quickly. Look at verse 4. But when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples didn't know that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, children, hey, children, did y'all catch anything? Have you got anything to eat? You see what he's getting them, trying to get them to understand their need for him. He's wanting them to admit, you know what, I blew it, I failed, I'm trying to do this. That's all he wants to hear. Lord, I need you. I need you every hour. I need you. Admit our need. But when you are doing what God tells you to do, the kicker is, the key is to just simply obey God's word. Whatever He tells you to do, just obey. And so that's what He's leading them to do here. Look at verse 5. Then Jesus said to them, children, have you any food? They answered Him, no. And He said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you'll find some. So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it's the Lord. Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it and plunged into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from land, but about 200 cubits, dragging the net with the fish. Then as soon as they had come to the land, they saw the fire of coals there and fish laid on it and bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish which you have just caught. Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to the land full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not broken. He wants them to admit their need for Him. And then secondly, the command is, throw the net on the right side of the boat. You know, and I've had people ask me, why the right side of the boat? Because He said so. Because He said so. How many of y'all have told your children something, to go do something that's for their own good and for their best? And then the response is, why do I have to do that? And what's your response? Because I said so. If Jesus had told them to put the net out on the other side of the boat, every fish in the Sea of Galilee would have went to the left side of the boat to get in the net. You just do what He tells us to do. And so that's the command. And so they throw the net out on the right side of the boat, and boom, all of a sudden. Did y'all know? My mind went back to sitting in that restaurant. There's 153 species, different kinds of fish in the Sea of Galilee. How many fish are in the net? 153. And it says they're large. In other words, Dick, these are trophy-sized fish. All right? And bless God, the net's not breaking. But they can't get it in the boat. And so John sees what's going on. And he says, Peter, it's the Lord. And oh, impetuous Peter, what does he do? He puts on that outer garment and he jumps in and he swims to the shore. Here's the third thing in obeying, being obedient to the Lord. Brothers and sisters, listen to your pastor. Obedience brings blessing. Obedience brings the blessings of God. If you want to be blessed, just do what God tells you to do. If you want to be cursed, just be a rebel. Just continue going on doing what you think is best, and you'll live out a cursed life. That's a wilderness experience, brothers and sisters, to do what you think you ought to do in your own power and wisdom and strength and wealth and all that stuff. Listen, all we need to do is just let our yes be yes. And when you do that, you'll have a net full of fish. Woo! Look at your neighbor and say, is your net full? The net's not breaking either. What does that say to us? Yeah. All God's children are going to get home. Here's the last one. Believers, true believers of Christ, have all their needs met. Followers of Christ have their needs met. Look at verse 12. Jesus said to them, come and eat breakfast. Yet none of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then came and took the bread and gave it to them and likewise the fish. Now this is the third time Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. All right. John says, Simon, Peter, it's the Lord. He's up there on the shore. And it looks like he's cooking a meal for us. And so Simon Peter jumps out of the boat and swims to the shore. And then the others stayed in the boat in order to drag the net to the shore so they could get all the fish home. And then Simon Peter sits down beside Jesus. And he's got some fish for breakfast on the fire. And hot bread. I meant to tell y'all a minute ago, Carol, you remember that St. Peter's fish we ate at that restaurant? Have y'all ever eaten fish while it's looking at you? That's just a side note, okay? But I fish for breakfast? I don't know about all that, but what I do know is they had every one of their needs met that day. Physically, they're all sitting around the fire. Jesus is cooking breakfast. Woo! How many of you like to sit down and eat breakfast with Jesus? That's what we're going to do in eternity at the marriage supper of the Lamb. We're going to have fish. I don't know what we're going to have to eat, but whatever it is, it's going to be good. And then, Peter's sitting there with him, and he's dried off. He's warm. Jesus is meeting his physical needs just like the others. His hunger's satisfied. And the fellowship. Did y'all know? I wish you'd go through your Bibles this week and figure out how many times something spiritual happens when folks are sitting around a table. Family, food, fellowship. It all goes together. That's why we have the second Sunday brunch. Y'all don't like the second Sunday brunch? And so he's meeting their emotional and spiritual needs there around. And now, Simon Peter, Luke 24:34, and 1 Corinthians 15:5 says that there was, Jesus had already had a private meeting with Simon Peter. And I'm sure at that meeting, oh my goodness, there's Lottie Moon calling. Hallelujah. Christmas is coming. So he's already had, in that conversation, Jesus must have said, my shed blood took care of your sin. All right? All your sins have been forgiven. You know that they had that conversation because Peter's tore up about the denial, right? But whenever you have public sin, there has to be public restoration. Most churches aren't operating on principles of church discipline today. But if we did, the church would be much more pure and holy. But whenever you got public sin, you got to deal with it publicly. And so I don't have time to get into verses 15 to the end of the chapter, but he's sitting there with Peter. They've already had this sin conversation, and his sins have been forgiven. And thank God for that. Every single one of us in here have denied the Lord at some point in time. Every one of us. I hadn't. Well, then you've broken one of the Ten Commandments because the Bible says, thou shalt not lie. So anyways, he's talking to Peter. And then there's an invitation that's given to not just Peter, but all of them. He says, come and eat breakfast. In other words, come and dine. This is the third great invitation in John's gospel. John chapter 1 and verse 31, he tells the disciples, come and see. And then over there in John chapter 7 and verse 37, and talking about the Holy Spirit, he says, come and drink. And here he says, come and dine. Did y'all know? Do you have any idea how much God wants to spend time with you? Does that not blow you away? I mean, I know me pretty good. And yet the God of the universe wants to sit down with me? Have mercy. And by the way, he's not going to benefit from that, but I sure will. And so the invitation to the disciples was, come and dine. Come and have all your needs met. And that's still the same invitation today. Come and dine. Come and sit down with me. Come and fellowship with me. Come and learn from me. Allow me to lift your burden. Come walk with me. Come talk with me. Get to know me. That's the invitation. And by the way, when you meet all those conditions, you'll look up and figure it out. You know what? All my needs have been met. You got a need that hadn't been met. That's not on him. That's on you. Because if we're in right fellowship with him, his word says, and my grandmama's favorite verse, and we know, my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Amen. So there it is. That's the invitation this morning. Come and dine. Come and sit down with Jesus. Come fellowship with him. Get to know him better. I made this decision. I was a believer. I got saved when I was 9. But it wasn't until I met Diana. And we were married. I think I was 27. I'm not very good at math, but it was at that point in time I really began to dine with the Master. And I really began to get serious about my walk with him and my fellowship with him. And learning from him and being obedient to him. And you know what? God loves you just as much as he does me. And if he'll use me and take me and walk with me and sit down with me and love on me and meet my need, he'll do the same for everybody in this building. Amen. Everybody here. But he's a gentleman. And he's not going to bust that door down to your heart. You've got to let him come in. Let's pray together. Father, speak, Lord. Speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. I know beyond the shadow of a doubt, Father, that many of us in here need that time with you, need that fellowship with you, need that discipleship time with you. Just like Simon Peter did. Just like all the disciples did. We need that time with you. And the cares of this world choke that out sometimes. Lord, we don't have to live stressed out lives. We're too blessed to be stressed. So God, I pray for my brothers and sisters. I pray for those that are lost in here today. God, that every single one of us would come to Christ with our burdens, with our blessings, with our beliefs, and that we would just yield, submit, and surrender to you totally and completely today. The invitation is to come and dine, and it's still available. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. And we're going to have a hymn of response, and here's the deal. We've got deacons and their wives. We've got counselors that are ready and available to help you. Whatever decision you make, we would love to counsel with you, pray with you, do whatever we need to do with you. But again, this is your decision. Would you come and dine today? Altar's open for prayer. Our counselors are ready. What are you going to do? Because John's still ringing those words out. It is the Lord, and He is here today. Let's all rise and let's sing.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.